There's a lot more punks than there was 4 years earlier, but there was also as many posers. Posers were people that looked like punks, but they did it for fashion.
Welcome to SLC Punks, a Utah Jazz podcast brought to you by the staff of SLC Dunk. Now here's your hosts, Michael Lohman and James Hansen.
Welcome back to the SLC Punks podcast. This is your host, Hanson James.
And this is Milo.
And today we have a guest. Her name is Mary. You may know her as Mare. Mary, what's your Twitter handle?
It is MareBear28. I'm pretty sure that's it.
MareBear28.
Did you go through all MareBears? All 27 before you landed on MareBear28?
Sure. Yeah, that's how it worked. No, it's my favorite number. And I'm 28 right now, so it really is working for me this year, and then it won't work anymore.
There's a lot of synergy in that one.
Have a great story forever. So we brought Mary on. We wanted to start bringing some guests on the show, and I think Mary was great. It's funny, Milo called me on the phone, and he's like, we got to get some people on the podcast. And have you ever heard of Mary Hunter? And I was like, yeah, we work together. Talk to her every day.
And then I said, that's not going to work. If they know you, James, then obviously this is not going to be a good fit.
All I do is cycle James every day at work.
Okay.
They do.
You're
like
a great fit. You are a great fit.
It works.
Welcome.
To know me is to know a lot of problematic opinions and out there ideas. And I'm here for it. Today, we're going to talk about one, I think. Big reason I wanted to bring Mary on is to talk about George Niang. Today is George Niang Appreciation Day.
My boy George.
He's amazing.
I love him.
He is underutilized, right, Mary?
I would say so, yes. George is great for the team. When George comes in, he brings in this energy to the game. I've seen it in a few things where he comes in and like the energy changes immediately. They're down, he comes in, shoots a couple threes. Everything is electric. Like, that's what he does. And,
everything is electric.
He buries those threes. Yes. He's got that minivan that he's tanking up with the gas. He's, driving to the hoop. It's great. Love watching him.
You are absolutely correct, Mary. And I also agree that George Niang, actually, one of my big predictions this year is I thought George Niang would actually get a lot more play. Although that was partly because I kind of felt like George Niang is Dennis Lindsay's. I actually feel like George Niang is going to be a really big part of the team next year in a lot of ways.
Go back on podcast, you were banking on Royce O'Neal, and then you said, I'm going to bank on George Niang because it worked out for me last year.
I know. Oh, hey, I was right about George Niang. And I would have been right about Royce O'Neal. And I would have been right about George Niang, but they did not make that trade. About a certain player I'm just not going to talk about.
Don't talk about it. Don't hurt my heart, James.
We're just not going to hurt anyone's feelings. I do want to, the one thing I do love, my favorite story from Mary is, didn't you get to meet George Niang?
I did, Mary? And it was terrible.
Can you tell us how you met George Niang?
So I was going to a Stars game and I found out he was going to be there signing autographs. And I was like, this is the best day of my life. And then we get there, and I went with my dad. And so it's me and my dad, and we get there. And I see this line
just to review, you're 28.
I'm a 28-year-old woman.
Just wanted to get that out
boys.
There.
Yeah, I'm not a small child. And so I see all these boys, and I'm just like, I cannot go stand in this line with my dad and meet George Niang. And then I was like, you know what? Screw it. It's going to be terrible. And I'm just going to have to do it. And so I get down there and he just gives me this look like, who are you? Like, but it was great because we got a picture together.
Did you put your arm around one of the kids and just be like, this is my son?
I should have. That would have been a much better plan.
You're not my mommy. I am now.
I am now. I'm your mom right now.
Right now.
Do this for me, child. No, he was,
I bet George
was nice.
I I bet George was super nice, though. I think one of the things about George, and actually this was interesting last year, because Donovan made a comment about how like certain players on the team you wouldn't think about really help him out. And last year he talked about how one of those was Tabo, and the other was George Niang, who, you know, last year not a lot of people, you know, who aren't weirdos like us that follow the team so intently maybe knew about George. But this year he's become such a big, prominent face, definitely on the bench at the very least. His celebrations,
his reactions are great. I always look for elite. Those.
Top,
you can tell that
him and Nas are fantastic.
They're great. But yeah, I think that he brings a really great energy to the team, and he's always just super positive and always out there, work hard and be grateful. And that's awesome about him.
Well, and here's another thing I think about George Niang, and this is something I expected to see more of this year, but Quinn has kind of opted to go with Jay and Tabo ahead of him for some reason, and some of that trash. Is earned, and some of that I think also trash.
I mean,
George. Well, George started off the year like shooting lights out, like he was lights out.
Okay, and, so I want to challenge Mary here just a little bit. So what do you think happened when he went colder than ice?
George, in those like few, I don't know, when was that?
That was like so all he, of like, November the first through month February. Or two.
He did not.
It's just not true, Michael.
It's just not true. Just,
that's, I don't know where you're getting
I don't
these
remember
numbers.
That happened.
I don't remember
you're getting these numbers. This is not real.
Not real. I think
the season's only 25 games.
No, the weird thing, I think when he plays in garbage time, he doesn't do as well, which is interesting. So I think it really depends on the games, like when he plays in the games. But like when he's coming in like the second quarter and playing with, you know, the other, you know, good players, I think he does well. He shoots well. There were a few games where he caught in, you know, attempted two threes and then they pulled him immediately because, you know, apparently some people can miss and some people can't, but that's I'm not their coach.
No, I agree. Here's the thing too. You know what? It reminds me of another player that recently got injured and really like whenever he made a mistake, he would get pulled.
We have not talked about this with you about Exum. How are you doing? First of all, how's your psyche?
He's really
does he cry to my core?
Does he cry when he's at work in his car? Yes. Does he routine? Does he take 15 minutes? Like he's like, I just need. I'm gonna just go on a walk real quick, and you just see him, just like cranking just like, out to
just staring at photos of Dante, just crying.
Like he turns on like Africa in his car, and just goes full blown, just ugly cry.
Yeah,
can you
I've
confirm?
Seen it happen. I can't confirm.
I weirdly predicted that whole thing, but in a weird way. And then it felt like I was in like a punch fest with about 100,000 people. It was a bad day. Luckily, Dante is he's had a successful surgery, and let's hope he gets back soon. But anyways, we'll just like before I start crying, we'll talk a little bit about how like I think there's things that George Niang brings to the game that really change stuff for the team. And I think Mary is exactly right. I think sometimes he doesn't benefit from playing with some of the best players, and you know, it makes him look bad when maybe it's not always his fault. I love that George Niang can take the ball and handle it. Quinn, when he does have him in, will sometimes use him as kind of that secondary ball handler like Joe Ingles, and he's actually good at it. And George has like really nice touch around the rim. Like he's able to get buckets around the rim. And when that shot's falling, he is really nice player.
I will say go ahead to make sure that this doesn't turn into a full slander on Tabo. Tabo does defend well though. Like that's Tabo the one thing that defender. I do appreciate. Like Tabo can switch really well, and he has really good length. And so even though you're not getting like offensively the same type of production that you're able to get out of Niang, and not as much utility on the offensive end, you definitely like when the game gets to Tabo having to be a playmaker, you know you're on your fourth playmaker, possibly even fifth. So it's he's a playmaker in a jam versus I think Niang is way more comfortable with the ball in his hands. That being said, I think Thabo in some games, you just want him out there because you know you can switch a bunch of different players on him on the defensive end, and he can kind of slow people down. So I think that's still why Quinn is out there, because Quinn does – he looks on the defensive end of the ball, unless it's Exum, more
Amen.
Than more than he does on the offensive side. So mm-hmm. – and so that's important. Unless it's also – unless it's Donovan as well. Then on Donovan, he's just like, whatever you do offensively, you can do better than everybody else.
Please go shoot the ball, Donovan.
Please and just you. Also,
please
you.
Just go shoot the ball.
Oh, also shout out to Yaya Dubin. It's kind of a mouthful, but he wrote an article today that how Donovan should just be the team's point guard, and I wonder if that's what Dennis Lindsay's plan is all along. I really feel like George Niang is going to be a key for the future for the Jazz, especially this offseason. So. Well, because he's got a very cheap contract, and he actually shoots. I mean, he has a chance to be a really nice, positive role player for the team. And if the Jazz get a nice player in the offseason, whoever it may be, having those nice players but on reasonable contracts becomes super valuable. And he might get a lot more playtime next year. You know, that's what I hope, at least, because I think Niang has a lot of potential to be really awesome.
You know, he has a lot of potential, and he works super hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and...
Go ahead.
I don't know. He's grateful to be there. He's willing to put the work in to, you know, make his game better, make his body better, which is looking great, by the way. And, you know, just going to throw that in there.
That's right.
No, it's very important. Right. It's very important analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I bring to the table. This is what you wanted, right?
This is exactly what I wanted.
I actually love it. Well, and also here's the other thing. And, you know, we jest, but, George Yang's put in a ton of work. His body has changed a lot from when he started.
Yeah, it really has.
He's definitely glowed up this past year. He's glowed up.
The glow up is very real with George Niang.
Mm-hmm. And that only bodes well for the future, because players that work their way into shape like that tend to continue to do it. You know, like Joe Ingles. And although Joe Ingles, I don't know if he's ever really gotten more in shape. He's just gotten...
He keeps
even
his
more
shape.
Joe Ingles.
He's got that dad bod, and it's really working for him.
I really think Joe Ingles could do like the Rock training regimen, and he would come out looking exactly the same. He would be able to lift. He'd be able to bench 350. He like at the end, Joe Ingles would bench 350 and be able to do all the things the Rock would do, except he would still look like Joe Ingles.
I see it happening. The science,
like, it would
there.
Be the same. It is. Mm-hmm. It fits. It checks. I think one thing with speaking of Donovan at point guard and the upcoming offseason, I don't think because Donovan is able to play both positions pretty well, I think they're just looking for, hey, who can we get who wants to be here? And then whatever happens, we'll deal with the aftermath. So if we're able to convince like a Kemba to come here, or they trade for Mike Conley. Sorry. May Rubio rest in peace.
How dare you?
It has to be said. It has to be said. He's on an expiring. He has a one-way ticket out. This is not a round trip. Not a round trip.
I think that Rubio is very undervalued. I'm just saying.
I can agree with that. I can agree that I believe he's undervalued because he's slightly above average, and that and that's not the let me finish.
Okay, continue, please.
He's slightly above average. He's not to the point of wow, he's a D'Angelo Russell and I want the ball in his hands all the time type of thing, but he's really above average, and dare I say elite in like two or three things, but then he's very average in, say, shooting the ball and awareness on the defensive end. He's great one-on-one defense. He's great on the perimeter, but he gets locked in on ball hawking, which is a bad thing. Also, he turns the ball over a lot, A lot okay. for a point guard. Okay. A lot for a point guard.
He's not the only one turning over the ball on the Jazz.
I know, but when he has the ball in his hands all the time, that's bad.
It's because they pass so much. Like, that's their
game.
They
do. They do pass a ton, and Joe Ingles gets a lot of turnovers and like that. I think
Donovan gets a lot of turnovers.
He does too.
Donovan too.
Ricky tries. I think the problem with Ricky's turnovers is Ricky really tries to thread the needle sometimes on passes where it's just unnecessary. Versus like he has the skill set. That's what's frustrating with Ricky Rubio is like you know he has the skill set to have less turnovers because he makes incredible passes. But then you're like, where does that come from? Like, where did Ricky's thought process go through versus like a Joe, Royce O'Neal,
say,
if
Joe,
he turns the ball over, I'm like, he's operating at the maximum capacity of what he's able to do versus like a Ricky
thing about Joe
turnover.
Huh. I'll say one thing about Joe Ingles. He needs to cool it a little bit with his turnovers because sometimes Joe's turnovers are just killer and they're like behind the 3-point line and it's always an automatic bucket and it's always kind of like Joe come are you serious. Mm-hmm. I will say this about Rubio, I do feel like Quinn trusts him a lot and I think that's because he knows that when Rubio's on the floor things are going to run the way he wants them to, and Rubio at this point is not going to out athleticism somebody, but at the very least, you know that the shots are going to come in the offense that you want them to. And when Rubio does like not turn the ball over at a high rate, the Jazz tend to play a lot better. So that's what I kind of think is like, as long as he can just play controlled and the Jazz will do just fine. But
that's my worry for the playoffs. Like the playoffs, especially if we play like, the Portland Trail Blazers, who really just want to be on the run. If Utah doesn't have their turnover issue taken care of, then they're going to lose to a depleted like Portland Trail Blazers team, or they're going to lose to definitely to the Houston Rockets, who are just going to light them up in transition. And that's the problem with Utah and their turnovers is this is increasingly turning into a transition league. Like you got to be on the move. You're going to take advantage of that. And Utah is putting out the freshest of meat out to opposing defenses that can just light them up.
You sound like Matt Moore a little bit there, Michael. Just a little bit.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Just
sir?
Saying. Just
how
saying.
Dare
it
you?
Sounds a little like a little hardwood.
How dare you?
Twitter to me right
there. I invited you to my wedding, James.
I'm sorry. But I guess you did mention the playoffs and that the Jazz, you know, as Matt Moore, hardwood paroxysm likes to say, the Jazz, you know, always lose to bad teams and never beat good teams, according to Matt Moore. But anyways, who are the teams that you guys want the Jazz to face in the playoffs? I know who I want, but I want to hear what you guys think.
Ooh, Mary, you want to go first?
All right. I mean, I would say Portland, first of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're down two good players. And, you know, we've played pretty well against them in the past. And so I would say Portland. Denver.
Oh, man. If we got Portland in the first round and if we beat them and got Denver in the second round and we went to the Western Conference Finals.
Best case scenario. I think this is... The Western Conference right now is just like, when do you want to lose in four? Do you want to do it in the first round or in the finals? I would prefer the Nuggets first because here's my reasoning. The Trailblazers, I feel like Damian Lillard always just lights it up against Utah. Just mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who's there. He's going to put up a 40 piece every single time. And they will have the motivation of win one for the Gipper for both their coach and whoever's down, because of the injuries. Then you add in the pressure of them. What is it? They haven't got past how many straight playoff games have they lost? Like 11. something insane like that. So there's going to be this pressure on them to really kick it up a notch. And that is scary. Like a team that's desperate. And that combination makes me think that the Utah Jazz could overlook them and really get taken. Kind of like what happened to Portland with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Well,
we went in there thinking we're going to house them, and it could get flipped on them really, really quick. And the distance to travel really works out really well for both teams. But
I have three words.
It allows more time to recover.
I have three words for you. Can't.
Do I want Denver?
Can't play canter. Can't play canter. If you're playing, Portland, you get to play against Cantor on the defensive end. And I'm telling you what, Rudy is going to feast on Enes Kanter, both offensive and defensive end. Cantor can't handle the ball.
And Donovan.
Well, Donovan as well. Well, and that's the other thing. So Nurkic's injury, it really sucks for them because he was having a career year. And he was like, he gave Rudy problems every time they played. Just one of those guys that has that big body that he uses it really well against Rudy and can make that little hook shot that seems to be that's the shot that just if a player has it, it tends to be Rudy's kryptonite a tiny bit. And Nurkic has that. And the other aspect of Nurkic's game, and I'm not looking at his stats right now. I will look them up as we speak. But his passing, it was a big deal for them. Like his passing out of the center position, because last year, remember, they, like you said, they lost all of their games to the Pelicans, and all the Pelicans did was they just isolated Damian and McCollum, and they didn't have anyone else on the floor that could handle the ball, and it created turnovers and all these problems. And Nurkic
was giving them 15, 10, and three assists.
So that's three assists they're missing. And that, you know, three assists is, you know, 6 points or whatever. But that's also, that means you're also losing a passer. And that was one of the kryptonites. And I have to say, I like mad scientist Quinn Snyder getting a chance to go at Portland and say, hey, I've just got to take out Dame. McCollum's still a little hobbled. I would be ecstatic to take Portland in the first round. And then if we got to play, like, is there any chance that, like, who would, let's see, is Golden State going to get the one seed? I'm guessing so. I think Denver lost tonight, actually.
You ready for something I never would have thought? Cantor with Portland has 120 offensive rating and 109 defensive rating.
So, wait, what was the offensive?
120. He has a positive net rating.
I don't know.
I mean, it changes in the playoffs because all of a sudden you can start targeting, scouting, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to like lean heavily on Zach Collins. Like Zach Collins is going to start flexing up, and they're going to use him defensively. And he can assist out of that, but he's just young. He's only 21, so you can take advantage of that youth. I just fear Damian Lillard. I fear Damian Lillard. And Utah's had Denver's number all year. And Utah's seasoned in the playoffs. Utah's one of the few teams that can shut down Nurkic as far as his passing and really flip it on Nurkic to have to create versus letting his teammates do that. So I feel like they can isolate them and really...
You talking Jokic?
Yeah, Jokic. Sorry. Did I say Nurkic?
You did.
A lot of similar names.
It's okay.
Yes, Jokic. Part of me feels like they traded Nurkic just because you're like, I'm getting these confused. So you have Jokic where you can split them up. I always feel like Denver's like this Voltron type of thing where they have like the five lions, and if you just split off one of them all and isolate them, you got them beat.
Mm-hmm. Rudy gets in Jokic's head.
If you just
like Rudy is,
he does.
Rudy gives Jokic like he has legitimate nightmares about Rudy,
and especially this year. Like Rudy has made incredible steps with guarding on the perimeter. That last year, that matchup would have been pretty ugly, but this year he has been just on top of his game, having to go on the perimeter, work with the switches that they do with Nurkic, and really shut down the passing lanes too with Nurkic. So it's been it's really turned that around. I would prefer Denver in the first round. I really would.
But we're going to have to lose. We're in the 5 speed right now. To get Denver, we have to fall to the 7. Right now we're at the 5. So, and how many games we got? Five games left?
5 games. Yep.
It's looking good for us to get the Trailblazers. The teams I want to avoid, here's maybe that's a better question. I don't want to play the Rockets in the first round.
Yeah, who do you want to avoid?
I personally don't want to play the Rockets. Yeah. And I don't want to play the Thunder. Do you guys ever just get...
Even though the Thunder are sucking, even though they're sucking right now, I feel like there's just too much history with them where...
It's a bad matchup.
It is. For whatever reason, they play better against us, too. Like, freaking Westbrook, like, the season, he's shooting 65% from the free throw line, but if you look at when he plays us, it's like 100%. And it just, like... And I don't know what it is when we play them, but there's just such this anxiety, and I'm bald enough. I am bald enough. I don't need to lose any more hair. I want a team that I feel good about playing. You know, Paul George, I know he has his shoulder problem right now, but I just know that if we play them, somehow it'll miraculously heal. And, you know, I just don't want to play the Thunder.
Want to know something? What's crazy is Russell Westbrook's numbers against Utah this season are actually some of the worst.
That's the thing, but I don't know. Like,
and it's so but it doesn't feel like it, though. It doesn't feel like it to me. And maybe it's because the most recent matchup after the All-Star break, he was lighting it up from three. He was making his free throws. But he's only shooting 61% from the line against us, 30% from three, 37% and 45% true shooting.
Well, we've also lost to them every single time we played them. So I just don't want to play them.
And then, but Paul George has been insane against us. But on the other hand, Paul George has been an absolute beast against us.
Yeah.
So there's the other side to the coin. And of course, we don't want to play the Warriors. But I feel like if Utah got the Rockets, that would be absolutely the worst. That would be the worst thing that could happen to us. Because I feel like the Rockets right now are trending up when everyone in the, even the Warriors, so to speak, like the Warriors are relying on them, like turning it into another gear. And the Rockets have already shifted. And they got Chris Paul, who's looking like he's going to be healthy for the stretch run. It looks like the Rockets kind of did what the Warriors have done the last 2 years, which is we just need to focus on everyone being healthy. We don't care about really where we land. As long as our squad is healthy, we're going to go on a run. And Chris Paul is healthy. James Harden is healthy. Capella is good. They're ready to rumble. So I don't want to play him. I don't want to play him. I don't want to play him.
I don't want to play him at all.
No. You know what though? Less afraid of, am I weird to be less afraid of the Rockets than I am the Thunder? Is that, maybe I'm just weird, but I think
there's so much history. I think there's so much history. That's like going against your like arch nemesis. It doesn't matter if they're if the Joker's behind bars, if you're Batman, you're like that mother effer. I don't want to deal with him. Versus like, yeah, I will deal with any 2-bit criminal. I don't want to deal with that guy. There's too much going on. We have too much of a past. It's all messy. And I feel like they can get in Utah's head. I don't want him. I don't want him. Versus like Utah playing the Rockets. It's not a good matchup, but I feel like the Rockets have played them. I feel like the Jazz have played the Rockets well this year, and they want some revenge. Be like, we're healthy. We got all of our guys. Let's roll. Minus Exum. And Neto. And
yeah, is Neto okay?
I think Neto's okay.
Did he have a concussion?
I think Neto's okay.
I think he's in concussion protocols. I think
you're right, though.
He's still...
He was laying face down on the ground for like 30 seconds. It
is
was
Janae
bad.
Gonna be okay?
And that's his fourth concussion. That's his fourth concussion in 4 years.
Is Janae gonna be okay?
James.
Ever since Janae entered the picture, Neto has been playing off the hook. He's gotta be okay.
He has been playing very well.
Okay, guys. Neto's new girlfriend, Janae, since he's been going out with Janae, has been playing lights out. So that's a relationship I'm a big fan of.
It's a Janae bump.
I
feel like that's a me, Mary, and Alexa joke. Another girl I work with at work. that no one ever likes my tweets, and I don't care. But whenever Neto does well, I always...
Yeah, you do. You completely do. You've called me and complained that somebody didn't like a tweet that you had to tell me was good. That is a complete BS.
He has every time a tweet goes viral.
You needed some damn recognition, and you were so desperate for it that you called me to tell me the tweet just so I could have a reaction.
Wait, can we go back in time? Do you remember when that Lord of the Rings video I did went viral? And I was working, I was like, it was for a thing at work called annual meeting, and I was loading up tables, and Michael called me and said, "What the hell did you do?" And I was like, "Oh crap, I guess I'm fired. I did something." And it's like, "No,
I'm sorry, I was actually working when we were setting up for annual meeting. I don't remember."
And
this.
He's like, and I was like, "What?" And your video has 40,000 views in an hour. I was like, "What?" By the end of the day, it had like eight.
What video did you do?
By the end of the day, it had 800,000 views. It was like when the jazz
on Facebook. And at the time, we only had like 1,000 likes on Facebook. And so I was just like, I got a notification from Facebook being like, something is out of control. And I was like, oh no, oh no.
It was on Facebook. I know I do remember this. Yep.
And then, and so I was like, oh my gosh. I like James said he was uploading it. Oh my gosh, did I miss something? Did I not watch it all?
I guess James,
because you showed it to us. I'm like, did I not? Yeah, I'm like, well, he had a good run. And then come to find out, I was just like, oh my gosh, it's blowing up. It's going nuts. So yeah.
Yeah. So hey.
But I called you I was like, this is so
big
cool.
Deal.
This
no
is
big
so
deal,
cool.
Right, guys? No big deal. It just goes viral. That's just
yeah.
James is kind of a celebrity. I want you to know that we had a new employee come around one day and they just looked at James and they were like, hey, you do jazz videos, right? I watch your videos. And it was just the best day for James.
Can I tell you, so when I started my new job about a year and some ago, we have a warehouse in Kentucky and one in Utah. So they introduced me and they're like, yeah, this is Michael, blah, 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 blah. But nothing on my, like, and they put it on like the, I don't know what you call it, like the dashboard for the company, you know, the new bullet
intranet.
Board, whatever. Intranet. Oh
That's my job.
Gosh. Yeah. Okay. The intranet, not to be confused with the internet.
Mm. Different.
It's very different. One's yep. public facing and one's not.
One's cool and right. one's not.
That's yes. One has GIFs, one does not. Yes. So they put it on there and it has nothing about me on, you know, like writing for the jazz or anything like that. And there's a few people that commented, and all of a sudden there was like three people who were like, do you write for SLC Dunk? And so no one in Idaho knows. Like, it was only guys, one guy from our Kentucky warehouse, because he'd started following our blog because of Donovan Mitchell. And then two people from our Utah warehouse. And I was like the celebrity of the day. And it felt so damn good. It felt so awesome.
It makes those late nights.
At that point, I had clout. Like,
bleary eyed writing something that you're not quite sure you're going to get fired for. It makes it all worth it. It doesn't.
My favorite thing is I've become a pseudo expert on all sports because I write for the I write about the jazz. Like, I don't know anything about the NFL, but I'll have dudes coming to my desk being like, I'm in this fantasy league and I just need you to take a look at my team. Do you think this is good? I'm like, I don't have any other time outside of my life.
You should give them terrible advice that you don't know anything about. You should be like, no, you should get these people instead.
Bro, you got Patrick Mahomes. Trade that dude.
Yeah, that's right.
He's absolute trash. Absolute trash. Dude, all he's going to do is get you touchdowns. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. You need some diversity in that lineup.
I have to say, the SLC Dunk is very fun, and it does create some fun things, but man, sometimes it's funny. I think I've had some. What did he say though? He's like, yeah, I agree with some of the things you say. Made me laugh.
James, you have a lot of
opinions.
I do
have a lot of opinions.
Say it to my face. Say it to my face. Oh, wait.
I say a lot of I say a lot of things. All of them accurate, but I do say a lot of things.
Am I allowed to say the take that you had before the Suns game?
I own my takes. No, wait.
Oh, no.
In the car about Jimmer.
Yes, you can, but it's purely for Devin Booker slander. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's loud. I'll allow it.
Get ready.
Okay, so I was on the ride home. And before the game, and so I called James, and he's like, "Oh, you ready for a hot take?" And I was like, "Sure, why not?" And he's like, "I think Jimmer Fredette is better than Devin Booker."
No, I didn't say better than. I said,
and I was like,
the Suns are any better if they started Jimmer Fredette over Devin Booker? And I was like, I don't think it changes anything. I think that was what the take was.
Well, that would be correct.
It was slander.
And I was like, wrong. For real? I was like, for real? And he was like, yeah, I stick by that. I was like, you sure? And then the minute I said for sure, he's like, well, I'm not sure about it. And
that sounds like
all I know is that Devin Booker shut the ball up.
I was like, oh, it's good for you for sticking
and
to
they
your
haven't
guns.
Won a game. So either way, they don't win. No. Also,
I will say, all the people, my favorite stat that I came across, and this has nothing to do with, I wasn't looking for Devin Booker slander, which. I mean, it's very topical right now, but I didn't go looking for this because I was because I'm working on a post that's about the early things of Donovan Mitchell to Monta Ellis and all of that. So I was looking up Monta Ellis's stats, and I found like he had this really low win share, like two straight years when he was killing it in Golden State when they're terrible, and that got me wondering who else has that. Does Donovan Mitchell have that kind of similar things going on? And so I was like, let's find out. And it came up to Donovan Mitchell wasn't even in the list, but Devin Booker was right there with him for the highest for scoring 24 points per game or more in a season and having a less than 0.1 win share for 48, which there's only 17 players in NBA history who have ever done that. So who have been peak, get whatever I want on bad teams.
Mm.
And, oh, by the way, Carmelo Anthony, like, litters the list. Like, he is the list.
Sounds right.
Hey.
But he hasn't done it in consecutive years, like Monta Ellis has, which was like, I posted that because I know it's topical, so it's going to get them likes in that retweets. But at the same time, I'm for it.
I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of Devin Booker. I just am not. He doesn't. They haven't won since he's been on that team.
All I needed to know. Good, and he actually had to share the ball.
I think he'd be good. But the thing that really bothers me about the kid, and I will go back to this, is he asked to come back into a game with like 2 minutes left so he could get a 60 piece. Like that is just peak vanity. Instead of being like, play the rest of these guys. I have nothing to play for on this. They need to get better. Not me. And
it's the antithesis of Joe Ingles leaving one rebound away from a triple double and just being like, I don't care. Don't keep me in.
Joe Ingles. I even called it. I called it in that game on the SLC dunk account. I called that. I was like, dude, it would be so on brand if he left just like one shy of a triple double. And lo and behold, that's exactly what he does. And all I retweeted that I was like, the brand is strong.
How cool is that actually?
It's almost better than getting a triple double.
It's badass. It's just like it's just like, you know what? F your stats, F your game. I'm checking out. Baller, mic drop. I don't need that crap.
Exactly. That's why he's the GOAT.
He gets W's. He doesn't get 60 points. He gets W's. That's what he does.
It was fantastic. I loved it.
That's what matters.
Well, that was my Jimmer take. Everyone can just kiss my butt because I still stand by it because the Suns haven't won a game this whole time. And if they gave Jimmer the same amount of possessions, I don't think that anything changes. Maybe it goes worse. I don't know.
So what were y'all's feelings on Jimmer getting almost playoff level standing ovations? Well,
Mary, you were there.
Every single time,
Mary, you were there. How was it?
Yeah, you were there.
I was there. It was bad. It was really, really weird. And everyone, by the fourth quarter, I don't think that people would have been like that if we had been, you know, like it had been a close game. But the fourth quarter,
was the fourth quarter mocking or were they legit like?
Here's what my section was. It was people cheering for Jimmer, people telling Booker to pass the ball, and people cheering for Jimmer louder than Chick-fil-A. Like, it was so weird. This guy behind me was like, this is the weirdest game I've ever been to. And it was a bad look for Jazz fans, honestly. Because it's like, you're in their house, and you're cheering for the other team. Like you're actively cheering for the other team. It's not like you're cheering for a player that brought you so much glory in college. Like, you're cheering for them more than you're cheering for your own team. And it's not respectful. That's how I felt about it.
Right. It wasn't like he was coming back to BYU. It wasn't like he's coming back to BYU going to Provo and they're his fans. It was.
And like, if people were cheering for him, like, that's one thing. But like, the fourth quarter was like, it was like an exhibition game for the fans, but it wasn't for the players. And so, like, it was bad of fans to act like that.
It was easily the weirdest night of the year in a lot of ways, because you also had Devin Booker trying to check himself back in.
Oh, yeah.
You have Kyle Korver just like bolting to foul the other guy.
Fouling.
It was amazing.
So good. I was about that.
And it wasn't
Jazz fans right there. That's the saltiness level that we always hope to achieve. Like, right, actively keeping something and getting 60 points.
That's what I loved. The minute Igor put him back in the game and Quinn was like, this effing dude, like, you're going to do me like that? Like, that's another thing.
When Igor, people better than this.
He should have been like, I showed you, like, I taught you how to slander young kids. Don't you remember what we did to Exum? We did that together.
Guys, we're really gonna twist that knife, aren't we? We're just terrible. Gonna keep twisting it.
Yeah, but the way they were reacting, it was like, you know that scene in Rudy where every single dude like puts on his jersey onto like the coach's like desk and be like, play Rudy. That was like the Jazz fan equivalent of rooting for Jimmer, except it was like cringeworthy and terrible. And actually, it's just as good as the movie Rudy, which is absolutely trash. Like
all the fans yelling at each other, because it was like fans, Jimmer fans defending themselves and people yelling at Jimmer fans for cheering for him. It was a lot of infighting. It was a lot like Jazz Twitter after the game.
Every game?
Like, I loved how people were like, well, like one person was just like, well, you know how Gale said we needed to be nicer to players? You're like, no, they said don't be racist. We can still be fans of our team. She didn't be like, hey, cheer for everyone. Like that. Yeah. That's not like you didn't think the wrong thing, and you totally missed it, which makes me worried that you didn't get the whole like don't be racist part. And then
that's what she's saying.
Like she's like don't be terrible people, but still root for your team. It's not that hard. And then you get to Jimmer, and the other thing too is those two aren't joined together, because I can tell you, for being with SLC Dunk for 10 years, when Jimmer was in the league or when he was floating around as a free agent, every single time he was available, our comment section would turn into hot garbage because people would be like, they need to bring on Jimmer for debt because he just hasn't been with the right team, blah, 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 blah. And here's the thing. If you flame out with Popovich, you ain't going nowhere. I don't care. Like, Popovich is the last stop on basketball player redemption. If Pop can't figure you out, you're done. Period. Like, the basketball gods have spoken. Popovich said, you ain't it. You're done.
This ain't it.
And so you're telling me, like, he's going to go to the garbage fire of a tire fire of a crap storm that is Phoenix, and he's going to figure out his career? Nah.
Nah.
Nope. Like, they brought him on for a few extra butts in the seat, and they have nothing better to do for the rest of their season, so why not? But he ain't good. And he ain't worth the, a percent of the applause that he got. Maybe like one. Like, you can have one when he checks in and be like, hey, thank you for all you do. And then you got to be merciless to that dude. Instead, they cheered for him like he was the 15th dude on a little league team.
Trying to get the ref, like, for fouling him when he clearly stepped out of bounds. Like, are you crazy?
Hey, this guys, I will say this too.
It was so Utah weird. Fans,
you know what? They did not show up for Kuzma the other night. I was listening to see if they would cheer Kuzma this way.
They're like, they do the same thing for Kuzma. And I was like, BS. They've never been there for Kuzma. And he's actually an NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You'd think like all of Utah would worship this dude who turned out to be an actual NBA player versus Jimmer.
Like, come on.
Jimmer couldn't get minutes in Sacramento when they were terrible. He could, when they were at their worst, he could not get minutes. Mm. By the way, kudos to Sacramento Kings for spending a lottery pick on Jimmer Fredette. Peak Sacramento.
Well, we did pick Trey Burke.
It just was bad.
Just saying.
I mean, but at least that's he's getting
true.
Minutes.
He did beat
it's from New York, but at least
shout
he's
out to
getting
Trey
minutes.
Burke, who beat the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Actually, I should just be quiet because he single-handedly beat did a great job.
Work. Thank you. Did that?
I think you should be thanking him because it didn't take him 10 shots to get his first
Trey
two
Burke,
points.
Trey Burke also.
And then didn't
also
need
the only player in the history of Quinn Snyder's tenure to get benched for Dante Exum. So shout out to Trey Burke. You've done the impossible.
I also want to thank the referees. I want to thank the referees to the Phoenix Utah game for finally calling a foul so they could put Jimmer to the line just so they could end it. I love how they're like, I can't take this anymore. I can't take all this stupid cheering. Just put him to the line. Shut him up.
Say that again, Mary.
Kudos to them.
It's just the refs finally getting him a bucket.
If I'm Jimmer, I gotta feel a tiny bit embarrassed. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
it was. That's the thing. It was like everyone in that like place just made it worse. Like, that's they were just so excited for him, and it's like, yeah, it has to be embarrassing when you're up there. It's your first game back in the NBA. And you're shooting hot garbage. Like, that doesn't feel good. And everyone's still cheering. And people are booing when you get fouled.
Yes. And then the referee's putting him to the line. That's like giving a kid a game ball for getting a bunt.
Mm.
They're like, hey, good job. Good job, Jimmy. I know, Jeremy over there, he had four home runs. He's normally great for us, but we're going to give you the game ball because it's the last game of the season. You got a bunt, your first hit. You were thrown out at first, but hey, good job. We thank you for all that you do, and please don't let your mom yell at me anymore.
Oh, well, may Jimmer rest in peace, except that he has a two-year contract. I don't know if that second year is guaranteed or not, if it's player option or what.
If it is guaranteed, like, kudos to Jimmer's agent for completely housing the Suns.
Before we get off here, I'm going to look it up real quick.
I want that. Please let it be. Please let it be guaranteed. I want that so bad.
Let's see.
That would be peak Suns, where they're going to have to pay him.
Jimmer Fredette.
Please let a team pay him.
Jimmer Fredette, 2019.
But we got to play him one more time.
Do we play the Suns again? That's right.
We play the Suns again on Wednesday.
Gosh. Is it in Phoenix?
So, it's in Phoenix, but Twitter will still light it up.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. He's going to get a ton of applause because all those St. George idiots.
Oh, yeah.
Like the old retired folks would be like, this is the way basketball should have been played. Are going to roll down there being like, they just didn't like him because he was from BYU. Those guys, they're going to go there.
It's going to be another.
It is going to be strange.
Yeah.
And the thing about.
All those retirees are shocked when they're dunks.
I mean, we're talking about it right now, but people are still fighting about it. And I'm like, it's not really that big of a deal. Like, it happened. It was weird.
It sounds like a bad relationship. It is. It's just weird every time.
I regret everything about it. It was weird. I don't want to remember it.
Listen, Jeanette, we've heard enough of your terrible ex-boyfriend. We know. We get it.
All right, guys. I have good news.
We know.
Good news. Non-guaranteed. Too. Non-guaranteed. 1.4 million non-guaranteed.
Let's hope that we can end this circus before next year then.
They're just trying to get butts in the seat for the last few games. They're just like, okay, well, at least we know we're going to sell out the
Well, that's
the
why
Jazz
they're letting
game.
Booker just shoot the ball every time. Shout out to the...
It's just the Booker
show. What a
bad
state of things for the Suns. Literally, we're just like doing things so that fans have a reason to come. Really bad.
Is he the Dumbo? Is he the Dumbo of the Phoenix Suns where the rest of the circus is going under, but they're like, hey, we got a flying elephant.
We got a guy that scores 50
Come
points.
See him.
He's We're not going to win.
Tonight.
You
we
got to wait
win,
to the very end. You won't know until the very end if he gets there, so you got to stay to the end. Buy them hot dogs.
Well, guys.
Does that make Igor Danny DeVito? Does.
Yeah, I think that's the matchup there.
I think that's definitely a natural
way to go. I can't watch Dumbo
go.
Because I'm going to cry.
I really
want to
see it, but
I'm
also
so.
Going to cry.
I need to go on a day where I just need to go cry, I think.
I'm not going to watch Dumbo because it's just not really realistic. I just don't think anybody would allow Danny DeVito that close to animals.
Don't even.
Especially ones that can fly. I don't know.
Especially ones that can fly. He would totally take advantage of that. I've seen him in Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He would totally hawk. He would hawk every single one of those animals.
Take advantage of it. It's
totally
true.
Piece him out.
Well, guys, we are.
He'd be like, I got an elephant trunk.
We're out of time, guys. I got to end this quote unquote circus. We've got. It's really awesome to have you on the podcast, Mary. I hope we did justice.
Thank you.
Bet.
Thank
I hope
you
we
for
did justice to George Niang.
I hope that.
I hope so.
I think we did. George Niang, number
also
one jazz player. Just kidding. But he's
really
like
good
he's up
Jews.
There.
Really
he's up there.
Good
he's
Jews.
Like at least he's a top 15. Top 15
best,
this year.
Best eyebrows
and probably
on
the
funniest,
Jazz. Probably the funniest.
We'll go there.
Okay.
Funniest player on the Jazz.
He is a funny
probably,
dude.
That is true.
Joe exists, but maybe the second
that is
funniest.
True.
I think he's Joe's. What is the word? Padawan.
He is like Diet Joe Ingles in a lot of ways. Like, and does a lot of things Joe does. So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
It's gonna be Joe Ingles 2.0.
Yeah, is
gonna
Joe Ingles
George
gonna
Taylor.
Like do a like try to get into improv
gonna,
after Utah Jazz?
He's
is
gonna
he,
like,
are you gonna see him?
On. You know, Joe wouldn't. Joe would be like, I don't care. My jokes aren't
he would
for
totally
sale.
Do improv. He'd totally do improv because he's not going to do stand up, but he's going to want to be in the moment. Like this one night only, you and me, we're going to share something special.
Joe Ingles' improv would be like he tells one joke and the rest is just him heckling the audience.
That would be
like,
his act, actually. I agree with that.
Just him versus the audience. Him going
yeah,
full
and then
carry on people.
Devolve. And it would be, I would go, I would watch that. It would be very
I want
good.
This. I like it. And he does it to the other players. And I have to say, Joe steps up. I think Joe's going to step up big time in the playoffs this year, like he did last year. Lot to love about Joe Ingles. Oh, it's fantastic.
I'm still waiting for my George Niang dunk, though.
It is coming, and it's
so
going to be
close.
Amazing.
Coming. I can feel it. feel it in the air.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. And everyone listening, please go follow Mary on Twitter at MareBear28. Go follow MareBear28. Exactly. And also, that's me. Go ahead.
You get to hear about how sleep deprived I am and how much I love my cat.
And you can also catch her waiting in line at a Salt Lake City Stars game to get an autograph from George Niang.
You'll see me awkwardly getting a photo with George Niang at Stars games.
She'll be the one that is a foot taller than everyone else.
Maybe like 6 inches. I'm short.
Awesome. Well, guys, and also if you're listening to this, go to your app on your phone, search SLC Punks or SLC Dunk. I think actually we're under there as SLC Dunk now. And we're the SLC Punks podcast, part of the SLC Dunk Network, I guess. And make sure you subscribe and leave a comment, leave a review. We appreciate it. We've gotten a big influx of those. I might start reading those at the beginning again because it cracks me up when people get mad about David Locke jokes. Guys, I will talk to you next week. Michael, Mary, I will talk to you later.
Ciao, y'all.
Goodbye.